Tribes, Chapter 24. Doc, in hospital. Kevin raced home in a cold sweat. "Don't get on the wrong side of Salaam," someone had once told him. Doc had. He'd gone against him in front of McAfee, and now Doc was lying in hospital with a broken leg. Was this his punishment? No, Salaam could never be that bad. Kevin would never believe that. Not to one of the tribe. He could hardly eat his dinner for thinking about it. "Kevin? Have you lost your appetite?" his mother asked, as she lifted away his almost untouched plate. "Sorry, Mum," he said. "Would it be all right if I went to the hospital to see Doc? Would it make any difference if I said no?" She watched as Kevin lowered his eyes. She sighed. "Oh, go on, but straight back." "I don't like that Doc," Gloria said. "I've never seen him smile." "You grin enough for both of you," Kevin said sharply, getting up from the table. "You don't like him either. Why are you visiting him?" She answered that one herself. "Of course, he's one of the tribe. You always stand by each other." She said it with pride, as if it was a wonderful thing. Doc's family were all gathered round his bed, his mother fussing with his pillows, his old granny sitting beside him, getting stuck into all his black grapes. Two young boys, obviously Doc's younger brothers, they looked so much like him, were fighting over who should write their name on Doc's plaster first. "Get away from there, you two," Doc's mother yelled, and walloped the boys with Doc's comic. Doc looked embarrassed, just as Kevin would have done. This was Doc's family, so much like Kevin's own. "Here's one of your little friends, son," his granny spluttered grapes all over Doc's clean sheets. Doc looked even more embarrassed when he spotted Kevin. Kevin smiled and hoped he didn't look too stupid. "I just thought I'd pop in and see how you were." Doc shrugged his shoulders. "I'm getting out in a few days. Just broke my leg." "You could have broken your neck, boy," his granny told him, stuffing even more black grapes into her mouth. Kevin hoped they were seedless. Mind you, she choked. She was certainly in the right place for some first aid. "How did it happen?" Kevin asked. Doc looked at him. "I just tripped," he said. "You just tripped? It was an accident." Kevin had never felt so relieved in his life. He beamed a big smile at Doc. Doc didn't smile. "Why, did you think somebody pushed me?" Doc knew what he was thinking. Kevin was sure of it. The bell rang just then for the end of visiting. "Hang about, Kev," Doc said as his mother fussed over him and his granny attempted a kiss. "We can have a word, eh?" Doc's mother planted a crimson kiss on his cheek. "Boy talk, eh?" She gathered up her family like a mother hen. Granny stuffed the last of the grapes into her mouth before attempting another kiss on Doc's cheek. This time she managed it and left a residue of grape skins on his face. It looked disgusting. "I'll bring more tomorrow, son," she said, and she grabbed one of the boys by the scruff of the neck as he was about to slide down the ward. Kevin took a seat beside the bed. Doc gestured after them. "Embarrassing or what?" "Tell me about it," Kevin said. "Remember, I've got El Diablo and Honey Sue." For a second they smiled at each other. It was the closest he had ever felt to Doc. "Why did you come here?" Doc said. "No one else has." And why hadn't they come? Kevin wondered. Wasn't that what the tribes were supposed to be about? To be there when you needed them? Or had Salaam warned them all not to? "I saw what happened the other night at the pier. You saved McAfee." Doc wiped away his granny's kiss with the edge of the sheet. Boy, would the nurses be mad about that. "I couldn't let him push McAfee in. He can't swim." "If I'd have had the courage, I would have done the same thing." Doc had surprised him. The one in the tribe Kevin liked least had done the thing he admires most. "But Salaam lied," Kevin went on. "He said it was you who wanted to push him in." There was almost a smile on Doc's face. "Does that surprise you? You've got a lot to learn about Salaam." "I heard him say you'd be sorry. And then when Tori told me about this," he gestured at his broken leg, "you thought it was Salaam's revenge?" Doc bit his lip, thinking about what to say. "I don't know, Kev. I can't be sure. It was dark on the stairs. I don't know what I tripped over, but when I fell, I heard footsteps running away." Kevin gasped. "Salaam? How would I know? No one ever knows with Salaam." "But you do think it was him?" Kevin said. Doc said nothing, and that was answer enough. "What about Stash?" Kevin asked. Doc leaned back on his pillows. "Stash wanted out of the tribe." Kevin didn't understand. "So?" Doc stared at him. "Getting out of the tribe is just as hard as getting in, Kev. That's why I'm still a member. If you want out of the tribe, you have to do the walk of death again. Kevin thought about it. Would he have the courage to do it again? Never. He could never face that again. Suddenly, he couldn't understand why he'd ever done it in the first place. He must have been mad. It was as if he was awakening from some strange dream, some nightmare in which he'd lived in a world he had never imagined. Yet he still had a need to defend Salom. But Salom said he wasn't there when Stash fell. And Salom said I had pushed McAfee, Dot reminded him. Lies. All lies. How many more had Salom told him with that engaging smile no one could resist? Whoever decided the walk of death would be the initiation test, Kevin asked. Yet he knew the answer to that already. Salom. He can be a great friend, Kev, Doc said, but don't get on the wrong side of Salom. There's a dark side to Salom, a really scary side. Kevin stood up with determination. I'm going to see him, Doc. I'm going to tell him I want out of the tribe, and I have no intention of doing the walk of death again. Chapter 25. Kevin felt as if he was waking from a long sleep. He decided he would waste no time. He would go to see Salom tonight. It was Salam's mother who opened the door. Pretty as ever, her hair piled expertly on top of her head, as if she'd just come from the hairdresser. Kevin, you come to see Salom? She was delighted, as if it was strange for friends to pop in to see her son. Salom, she called as she led Kevin inside their flower-scented flat. Salom appeared from his bedroom. What brings you here? He asked. I went to the hospital to see Doc. I thought I might have seen you there. He watched for Salom's reaction. He didn't bat an eyelid. I thought it was only family who were allowed to visit, he smiled. What happened to him anyway? Kevin hesitated before he answered. Doc thinks someone might have tripped him. Again, no reaction. And once again, Kevin had doubts. Surely he must be wrong. Salom looked so blameless. Did he see who? He only heard footsteps running away, Kevin admitted. When we find out who it was, we'll get them, Salom said. It couldn't have been Salom, Kevin thought. Not if he was talking like this. Kevin knew more than anything that he didn't want it to be Salom. Kevin sat down on Salom's bed. That's all we ever seem to do. They do something to us, we do something back. It's silly. Salom swung round in his chair. It's revenge. The best revenge is to live a good life. Again he heard his dad's words. He always thought his dad talked rubbish with his little sayings. Now it seemed the most sensible thing he had ever heard. I don't want to do it anymore, he said. Salom swung round again, his eyes not meeting Kevin's. What do you mean? But he knew exactly what Kevin meant. He just wanted him to say it. Kevin took a deep breath. I don't want to be in the tribe anymore. Still, Salom didn't look up at him. You can't do that, Kevin. Once you're in the tribe, you're always in the tribe. Remember the oath? It's a gang, Salom, not a religion. We've had fun, haven't we? Yes, he had to admit they had had fun. But with the fun, there were the fights. There was his sister caught up in it. It wasn't worth it. Is that the only reason? Salom asked him. No. He decided to have this out with Salom. You lied to me. You said you saved McAfee. Before he could continue, Salom interrupted. And Doc told you different. So you believe Doc? Ask Tori what happened. I already have. Tori backs you up. He always would. That's not a real friend, Salom. Remember, you said I was your best friend. Your best friend can tell you the truth, but you haven't told me the truth. You see, I saw everything, Salom, heard everything. I was there, hiding, watching. For a split second, Salom's eyes flashed with anger. He'd been found out, and he wasn't used to that. So what? I was helping Glory. Kevin shook his head. No, Salom, you were frightening somebody. You humiliated McAfee, and you enjoyed it. I don't want to be a part of that anymore. Salom sat up straight in the chair. He was getting angry. Kevin was sure of that. So you think you can leave, just like that? Well, you can, but only if you do the walk of death again. Kevin had been waiting for this. He was ready. Stuff the walk of death, he said. I'm finished with that rubbish. I was a twit to do it before. There's no way I'll do it again. Never. Salom was on the edge of his seat. You think I'm going to let you walk away from the tribe? Kevin laughed. I'll do anything I want to do. I don't take orders from anybody. Kevin knew they were shouting. Any minute now, he expected Salom's mother to rush in through the door to protect her boy. Salom sneered at him. I can make you really sorry you said that. Like you made Doc sorry. Gonna push me down some stairs too? Can't you ever do anything to someone's face? Suddenly, Salom leapt at him. Kevin fell back off the bed and they both rolled onto the floor, punching wildly at each other's face. Salam's fist landed hard on Kevin's eye, but a punch of Kevin's hit Salam squarely on the jaw. Kevin jumped to his feet and hurled himself at Salam. They both fell against the door. Salam grabbed Kevin's head and banged it against the woodwork. Kevin let out a yell of pain. Then he was on Salam again, his fist raised, ready to punch hard into him. And then suddenly Salam's mother burst into the room, screaming, "What's going on in here?" She pulled them apart and pushed Kevin away from her son roughly. "Get out of this house," she yelled. Then she turned all her attention on Salam. "Are you all right? Let me see that jaw." Salam pulled away from her, but all the time his eyes never left Kevin. There was real venom in that look. "You'll be sorry," he mouthed. Kevin backed out. He didn't trust Salam with his back turned. Come to that, he didn't trust Salam's mother. "Is that another friend turned against him?" Kevin backed right into Salam's father. He spat out the words, holding Kevin by the shoulders. "It was his fault, wasn't it? It's always his fault." His voice was low and calm, and he was looking at Salam as if he hated him. But Salam's venomous gaze never left Kevin. Salam's mother leapt at her husband. "What would you know? You're never sober. You don't care what he does." She was screaming now, pushing her son behind her protectively. "I should have got my belt to him long ago." There was more anger in that flat, calm voice than in all Salam's mother's screaming. "Over my dead body. You'll never lay a hand on that boy." Kevin backed away. They didn't even notice him going. They were too wrapped up in their own hatred. He ran for the door. He wanted out of this house, away from this madhouse. He wanted back to the sanity that was Glory and El Diablo and Honey Sue.